The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Hi, Summit family. Jason Malone joining you today right outside the auditorium here at Summit Malden. A happy holiday weekend, July 4th weekend to all of you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you're a guest, thank you for being our guest. We would love for you to go to our website, summitupstate.org. There's a guest card there. We would love for you to fill that out. And we just want to send you an email and thank you for joining us in worship today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to continue our series through the Sermon on the Mount this morning. It's a series that we have entitled Embracing the Way of Jesus. And I do love the title, and here's why. When Jesus arrived on the scene 2,000 years ago in Roman-occupied Palestine, the kingdom of God came with him, right? Matthew's gospel in Matthew chapter 4, it reminds us that when Jesus began his public ministry, he did so bearing the weight of the kingdom of heaven that was now with him, that was at hand. That is what he said. The first disciples of Jesus bore the same questions about Jesus that maybe you've had, I've had, that others have had. Who is this man? And what will it mean if I trust him with my life? What is he really asking me to do? What will this mean for my family and my future and my faith? And in the midst of all those questions and sometimes doubts, Jesus offers this simple invitation. The invitation is, follow me. I mean, those were the words that Jesus spoke to the fishermen who would become his first disciples. Follow me. He asked them to live with the assurances that whatever comes in life, he offers in a full way everything that God had intended for them all along. As I think about my life, my doubts, my at times personal crises, my concerns about today, my thoughts about the future, my desire to live out my faith in front of my family and my neighbors. And truth be told, oftentimes my fear of failure in that regard, my concern about my own shortcomings, sin, and whether or not God could use me to achieve any good for his kingdom. Jesus' words in this Sermon on the Mount meet me with one question. Do you trust me enough to follow me? Do you trust me enough to follow me wherever I go, and whatever that might mean for your life? And today, I have the opportunity, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 again this week, but I have the opportunity to talk with you about anxiousness and worry. It seems like a good time to talk about that with everything that is currently taking place in our world. As I was thinking about it, I just thought this week, I thought, how kind of Jesus to show up and talk about worry. How incredibly gracious of Jesus to give us his words about anxiousness. Isn't that great? Like, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You don't have to try to figure it out on your own. Jesus tells me. The older I get, the more I read and process and write on worry and anxiousness. Life has a way of bringing that at times to the forefront of our life, of our heart, of our mind. I'm constantly talking with people who are anxious. We live in a very anxious world. I've had my anxious moments in life too. I'm thankful for biblical authors that I've read, sermons that I have heard. But the words that have comforted me the most, encouraged my heart and my mind the most in regards to anxiousness and worry, are not the words of an author or a pastor who taught a sermon, to be honest with you. But the words of Jesus himself. And I'm so thankful that we can take a look at them today and ponder them. Before we do, I'm happy to partner this morning in bringing you this worship service with Jay Albright, one of our worship leaders here at Summit Church. And so let's take a moment and let's sing together. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was speaking in Jerusalem to Jewish people. Jewish people whose lives, in some ways, had been taken from them by the Romans. Like if you read and study and listen to others who know this time period well, you would hear them talking about how people in the day were being taxed beyond reason. It is said that up to 40% of their income went to pay taxes. Their children were being indoctrinated by the philosophy of Greeks and Romans, their religious leaders that should have been ones they could turn to for some guidance and some encouragement. Well, they were corrupt, and they had been used by the Romans to manipulate the people, and just the whole thing's pretty messed up, to be honest with you. And so the folks in Jesus' day, they might have been looking for a Messiah, but my guess is if they were looking for a Messiah, they had an agenda for the Messiah when the Messiah showed up, right? So maybe when the Messiah shows up, he could get rid of these Romans. That'd be fantastic. And maybe he could do something about these taxes. And there seems to be a good bit of ceremonial uncleanliness. And I think they're thinking if Jesus is the Messiah, he could really turn things around for us. But Jesus didn't let their agenda become his agenda. He begins to teach them the way of the kingdom of God. That's what we've been walking through over the past several weeks. And in chapter 6 of Matthew, in verse 25, if you have your Bibles, you can open there this morning. Maybe a mobile device in front of you that has the scriptures. But in verse 25, it says, Jesus talking, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life." We're actually picking up here in verse 25, but you see that word, therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore, obviously it ties into what was said beforehand. And as you think about what was said just last week, Kyle walked us through last Sunday what Jesus had been talking about before getting into this part on worry and anxiousness. A quick recap would be this. Jesus had said in his kingdom, there is no place for idolatrously serving wealth and stuff. You can't truly follow me, Jesus says, and attempt to store up earthly treasure for yourself. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. And so the temptation could be for some of us to go, yeah, I know. If I have a lot, I need to give some, I need to make sure that I give some of it away. Well, you need to understand that's not necessarily what everyone's processing that's listening to Jesus talk about in this moment, that they have so much. They got so much. Oh, yeah. I need to make sure that I give some away. I want to fall in love with the abundance of all the things I have. For so many that are listening to Jesus as he talks, things are tough, hard, tight, lean. Can't pay our taxes. Different things could be running through their head. This whole Roman control over us thing isn't working out too well for us. And Jesus says to them in the midst of that, hey, don't worry. Don't be anxious about your life. And I think this has the potential to come across as a little offensive to those that are listening. Especially if for some of them, times are really hard. If a lot of the folks who are listening are in the agricultural trade, what that means is they have sold their land and they're now working their land to those that they sold it to. So daily need for them is a really, really big deal, right? And I think even in our American context today, this is hard for some folks, maybe many of you that are listening today, to grasp and comprehend. I've had the opportunity to travel around the world some and be in some different places, and I'll tell you, the number of people on this planet that live day to day is pretty staggering. They need what they're getting that day to survive that day. And so I think it's a good reminder that in Jesus' day, people would have had just as much anxiety as people have today. We sometimes might think that things were just easier back then, whenever back then might be for you, as you think about back then. But there was no security for these folks that are listening to Jesus talk. And you're telling me not to worry? Jesus, worrying, honestly, is what we do. But Jesus looks at him and he says, don't worry, don't be anxious. And he gets specific, and I do appreciate that. He says this, he says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. So Jesus says, don't worry, don't be anxious, whether you are freaking out about the essentials to sustaining life, like food and water, or maybe the non-essentials in life, like what you're going to wear, although you do need something to wear in life, but maybe you're thinking of things that just this idea of, it's not just the immediate need that I'm worrying anxious about, it's other needs that I'm also worrying and anxious about. What I love so much about what we're discussing today is it's really relatable to us. We can relate. There are some of you that are listening this morning that are anxious because you really do need food. Like you need, you might have something currently in the fridge, but you're trying to figure out how you're going to get more groceries. You're trying to figure out how you're going to pay the bills. This season that we are in has really impacted you in the realities of day-to-day life. I know. That some of you have lost your job. I know some of you have been laid off. I know some of you have been furloughed. Some of you have been let go. And so what we're talking about on the basic necessities of life and trying to figure it out, this isn't some far off third world country somewhere else around the globe. While that is true in other places, for some of you that are listening today, it's true for you. And I would hope, I've been praying this week and processing these words of Jesus, I would hope this word of Jesus would be an encouragement to you. Because they are to you. Don't worry. I know you're on the edge. I know you might be freaking out a little bit. But I want you to know that I know how much is in the bank. And I know that from your perspective, you think things are headed in a certain way, and I don't want you to worry about it. And the folks that are listening to Jesus talk on this day, part of this Sermon on the Mount, I wonder if they're all going, this is so not what we expected in regards to what he's saying and how he's saying it. Don't worry. What's so great about the opportunity to teach this passage in this moment is I believe there's an application here really for all of us. Because even if you can currently pay the bills, it does feel like for almost everyone that you're in this survival mode, yeah? So we spend time thinking about the future and are we going to have enough? I know I have enough for today, but what about next month? What about next year? What about when I retire? And not just enough, am I going to have more than enough? Because that's really what I would like. I don't want just enough. I want more than enough. I wouldn't mind having more than the people around me because that helps me know that I've got more than enough. In our culture, we find ourselves saying or believing, how do I get ahead? And not just how do I get ahead, how do I stay ahead? And it's not just the finances, you know? It's other things in life as well. I think for so many right now, finances are at the top of the list. But, you know, maybe you're single and you wonder, will I ever get married? And it is the drumbeat of your heart and mind. And if I get married, will I ever have kids? Because sometimes it's hard to have kids. And if I have kids, how are my kids going to turn out? Because the world we live in is such a jacked up, crazy world. We have all these concerns that take up our mind space. They seem to be so urgent. Not necessarily life or death. Urgent. I believe what Jesus would say to you this morning is, would you quit worrying about those things? Stop worrying about it. Like, the implication is Jesus is saying, you have allowed your life to be wrapped up and become concerned with things in such a way that it has squelched your focus. Everything in life is about you. Everything in life is about your needs. Maybe it's time we step back, right? And just when the people listening think Jesus has maybe lost touch a little bit, he asks a very penetrating question, which I love. Because he doesn't leave it with just stop. Hey, don't listen. When it comes to worry and anxiousness, don't do that. Just stop it. Jesus never leaves his encouragement with just stop it. Look at what he says. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Jesus says, isn't there more to this life than staying alive? Which is kind of funny, right? Like, isn't there more to life than just taking care of your needs and wants? Is it possible that there is so much more to life than what you're spending the majority of your time thinking and obsessing and worrying about? And if there is more to this life than that, then maybe we should spend some time processing and thinking through that. Maybe if there is something more than just your immediate needs and wants, maybe more of your life and mind space and heart should be captivated and captured by those things. If there is a God who is in control of all things, if there is a God who holds the whole universe in his very capable hands, instead of worrying, shouldn't we be getting on with what the most important things are? If someone were to follow you, I heard a pastor one time with this challenge, and I thought it was excellent. He said, if someone were to follow you around all day tomorrow, or follow me around all day tomorrow, and they were to listen to everything that you said, and watch how you spent your money, and they were able to peer into your mind and heart at night when you're laying on your bed, when you're driving down the road and nobody else is around, and you kind of have some discretionary time available to you, what would they conclude is your greatest concern in life? And if we're honest, could it possibly be true that for a lot of us, what someone would conclude as they observe our life and listen in on our thoughts, what we spend most of our time thinking about is survival and/or people's perception of us? Getting ahead, how do we get ahead? How are we going to make it in the moment? And then staying ahead. What's gonna happen to our children? What's gonna happen to me, right? What's gonna happen to my family, my life, my finances, my family, my life, my finances? Some of you, I think, would be better off just to post that on social media, right? You should just get on social media every day and your post should be, I'm freaking out. I kid, but seriously, maybe what you should just post is, I'm worried about this, 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 and this. Because that's actually what you're saying when you post the other things you're posting. Underneath your post is, I'm freaking out. Underneath your post is, I don't believe God's got this. Underneath your post is, things are spinning out of control and I'm incredibly anxious. This is where our concerns and then Jesus has this very penetrating question that he asks. And maybe you're listening to this today and you aren't interested in spiritual things, but if it is possible that there's something greater going on than your immediate needs, wouldn't it be worth just considering that, pondering that? Jesus says this in verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Right? Birds, great creatures. I'm not sure how many of you sit around and think about what kind of animal you would like to be, if you could be one, but I still do that periodically on the hard days. And birds are high on my list, probably because of their what appears to be great escapability. You see, we don't even think in this realm. We don't think of God being the one who feeds the birds. We think the birds do what birds do, right? Birds know how to get some food, so they get some food, right? They can take some twigs and build a little bird home. One currently did that in a light fixture on my front porch. But the truth is, like, how do you think they figured that out? Your heavenly Father, he's not their heavenly Father. He is their Creator. But He is your heavenly Father. He created them that way. Jesus is saying, and I think it should be an encouragement to you today, if Father God can teach a bird, right, how to take care of itself and be fed, then what in the world are you worried about? Look at what he says. It's very interesting. He says, are you not of more value than they? Are you more valuable than the birds? Yeah. Do you know why Jesus says you don't need to worry about your basic needs in life? It's not because he's not concerned. It's not that he's advocating to be irresponsible and you don't have to do anything. Maybe you're listening to this message today and go, great, I don't need to work. That's awesome. God's got everything and I can just kind of do whatever it is that I want to do. No. Work. If you can be employed, obviously, be employed. Contribute. Yeah, for sure. But don't wrap your concerns around stuff because I'm going to take care of it. Look at verse 27. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? So in some ways, Jesus is like, okay, go ahead and worry. What are you going to get? What are you going to get by worrying? Ulcers? Some trips to the doctor? Time magazine reported a few years ago that Americans gulp down 7 tons of sleeping pills every day. What? There was a Harvard Business Review that reported that stress-related symptoms account for over 50% of all medical office visits. We are literally worrying ourselves sick. What else do we gain? Well, I don't know that I gain anything, but I do get the opportunity to waste a lot of time. Right? And that's the issue, honestly, and I'm not just harping on social media, although recently maybe I've talked about it a little more than at other times, but it's like, at the end of the day, you're wasting time looking at everybody else's frustrations, scrolling through everybody else's anxiety, everybody else's worry, everybody else's angstiness. Are you just concerned? Jesus tells us what to do, and I'm incredibly thankful for that. Like, Jesus very clearly articulates what it is that he would like for you to do. And again, I'm thankful for that. Because you don't have to guess. You don't have to sit around. You don't have to wonder. He says worrying adds nothing. All of a sudden, this command to stop worrying doesn't seem so crass or insensitive. In some ways, it begins to make sense because you can't add anything to your life by actually worrying. He gives another illustration, which I think is really great. He says in verse 28, why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus looks around this world that God made and well, what you can see is that God's a fashion genius. You know that to be true. In your own travels or observations of pictures around the globe, he is a fashion genius. The flowers that Jesus speaks of are ordinary field flowers, red poppies. They still grow in Palestine today. And they were kind of like wild grass. And they were used for baking bread, right? Housewives would gather the grass and cut it, let it dry, and they put it in the oven and they would light it. Make a hot fire for an instant or two, long enough to heat the oven. Yeah. She then removes the grass, puts her bread in, and it gets baked. And even though the grass was good for nothing more than making fire, God dressed it beautifully. It says, more splendidly than anything Solomon ever put on. What is Jesus saying? Your heavenly Father has it covered. It's not a big deal for him. I'm not sure what in your life in this moment feels like it might be too much of a big deal for your heavenly Father to cover. But as Jay sings this next song, I want to encourage you to prayerfully take that thing to the Lord. So in some ways, this is where things start to get a little convicting, because in verse 31, Jesus says, "Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." So the word seek there in the Greek, it means to fanatically seek. Jesus is saying, look, the people who don't know that there's more to this life than this life, those people who are locked in on the here and now, those people who just think that they put in their 70 or 80 years on this earth and then they're gone, those are the ones who think there is no light at the end of the tunnel, therefore they spend all of their time, all of their days, fanatically seeking after all of this stuff. They're the ones spending their lives wondering if they're going to have enough, and not just enough, more than enough, and enough to leave everybody else even when they are gone so that they have enough. But the implication there is that's not kingdom living. You're children of the living God, and He can handle all that stuff in His sleep. He can do better than you with animals and nature. You don't have to worry. Let those that don't know that there's anything more to life worry about that stuff. That is naturally, apart from the Lord, not being a part of the kingdom, like that's what they're going to be about and worry about. And Jesus is saying, when we allow our concerns, when we allow our thoughts to be consumed with these kinds of things, things that God can and will take care of for you, then you don't have space for the things that you should be about. And then He tells them that there is life beyond this life, right? Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. You see, it's a comparison. Instead of trying to make sure you get all of your needs met and worrying about the future and how much is enough, Jesus is saying, I want you to make your number one priority, your number one pursuit in this life, My kingdom and My righteousness, the passionate pursuit of Me. The word seek there is the same word that you see in verse 32. When it says the pagans seek after all of these things to make sure they have enough, except for here in the Greek, there's this little preposition, and that preposition that means emphasis. And so what Jesus is saying is, as you look at the pagan world and watch how they run after all the stuff, as they run after all the things, I want you to have that much energy and more in regards to seeking after My kingdom. Seek doesn't mean to look for it here. It means to concern yourself with it. Just as a lost world is consumed and concerned with stuff, I want you that much more consumed and concerned with My kingdom breaking in on this earth. My righteousness. It's got to be number one. And honestly, there shouldn't be a close second. Seek His righteousness. Righteousness is what Jesus has been talking about all along as you kind of walk through the Sermon on the Mount back in Matthew 5:20. What did He say? He said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And that righteousness has nothing to do with keeping rules or keeping rituals. It has to do with the relationship. It has to do with our relationship with God, which alters our motivation for the things we do, the things He's called us into, the opportunities that we have to make much of Him in the places that He has put us. To seek righteousness is to live a life that leads others towards the kingdom. Seeking the highest good of others, whether they be friend or enemy. And I think Jesus is saying, hey, look, as He's doing the Sermon on the Mount, anybody got time for that? Anybody got time for the important work, the kingdom work? Does anybody have time to passionately pursue me? The most important thing. Anybody out there worried about those that don't know me, right? I mean, I know you're concerned about your stuff, and I just want to remind you about what I'm about. Do you have some room on your list for people that don't know me, that aren't a part of my kingdom? Anybody out there got room on their list for the groups of people who don't even have my word translated into their language yet? Anybody got some time for some missionaries that might need some support? Anybody want to give up some of their time to go somewhere else in the world and make much of me? Yeah. Anybody got time for some students that don't know me yet? Anybody got time for children that are biblically illiterate to show them how I change all of life? Anybody got time for their neighbor, that guy at work? Is there any room left on your concern list, or is it so full of your immediate needs and wants that there's not room for the kingdom work that God has for you? And Jesus says, I don't want to just be added. I want it to be the driving force of your life. Seek first the kingdom. I want you to pursue me. What an incredible, incredible invitation. Let's take a moment and sing one more song together today, and then I will conclude our time. So what about you? Would it be true of you that you're pursuing Him, seeking His kingdom, even in this weird time, especially in this weird time? I mean, what an unbelievable opportunity we have. Don't you see it? Is God so sovereign that your life is on this planet at this time for His kingdom purposes? Because if we wait to be about God's kingdom until after all the crises are gone in our life, it's never going to happen. But when we give Him every part of our life, even the parts that might tempt us to worry, the parts that might tempt us to be anxious, He's good with it. He's got it. Don't take my word for it, take His. When you live with the kingdom in mind, and when you live the kingdom life in the here and in the now, God takes care of the rest of it. Look at what He says again, back in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. Isn't this great? This is what Jesus says. I know what your deal is. And as you prioritize the life I've called you to, seeking first the kingdom, I'm keenly aware and able to handle the everydayness of your life. I know what your things are. I love you. I got it. What does it look like to continue to seek first the kingdom? I have just a couple of practical things that I would say. Number one, be intentional with the word. What is the Spirit of God saying to you through the Word of God about the kingdom of God? Are you creating space to hear that? Not only be intentional with the Word, be intentional with your time. How are you investing your time that the kingdom of God might continue to break forth in your spheres of influence? I would encourage you to be intentional with your relationships. Who are you inviting into life with you that they might see the kingdom of God through your life? And then, obviously, tying into what Kyle talked about last week, be intentional with your generosity. How are you living with your hands open that the kingdom of God might continue to advance? This passage has been one of the most influential passages of my adult life. It was probably 15 years ago now that I heard a pastor preach a message on it. I took lots of notes. Some of the historical background and stuff, even today, that I shared with you, I remember from that message, and how people would have been processing in this moment in time. I preached on this passage probably 4 or 5 months before I left my former church to plant Summit. And after I had left to plant, Summit didn't really exist, to be honest with you. There were 5 families sitting in the living room, and we were talking about Summit. But I didn't have a job. I quit my job. And I didn't have I have a lot of money. As a matter of fact, if I would have asked advice of wiser people financially, they probably would have told me it's not a good idea at this point in time to quit your job. I had a new baby girl. Caroline had not been born all that long. But my wife and I, and we knew this is what the Lord was leading us to do. And a few months into this, before it was anything, in the middle of the night, I woke up. I'm usually a pretty good sleeper. In the middle of the night, I woke up, and I remember so vividly, I sat straight up in the bed, and Jen was still asleep, and I said out loud, "What have I done? Leaving my job and security. And in that moment, like it wasn't 5 seconds. I'm telling you, it wasn't 5 seconds. The Spirit of God brought these words of Jesus to my heart and to my mind. A message that I had preached months earlier when I, you know, it's one thing to preach this sort of message when things feel pretty together and certain from our perspective, yeah. But it's another thing to lean into them when anxiousness has just hit your door, you know? And so I preach this today knowing that a lot of you anxiousness is at your door. But I pray that you would be able to see that He's got it. He knows your thing. He knows what you need. It's so interesting because although there's been hard days and lean days and those sorts of things in my past, I wouldn't trade it for anything because I've gotten a front row seat of observing the kingdom of God breaking in places. Not by myself, with my wife, with my kids, with so many of you that have been at Summit from the beginning, that have joined us over the last 13 years, because we're a church that we're not interested in just being about ourselves. We're interested in being on the front lines of seeing the kingdom of heaven break in the upstate of South Carolina and beyond. And so it's a joy to journey with you in that. But to truly experience it, embrace it, and live in the reality of it, we do so by these words of Jesus actually being a comfort and a challenge and an encouragement to us. Don't worry, don't be anxious. I know what you need. I want to invite you to seek first my kingdom. Get in on what it is that I'm up to. And all the other things, I got those things. We love you. We're praying for you this week. And we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.